Welcome to the Muscle Expert Podcast with Ben Pakulski, one of the world's top professional bodybuilders, an expert on human performance and mindset mastery. Ben dives deep to deliver the strategies of the top experts to upgrade your body, mind, muscle, strength, performance, biochemistry, and how to become the upgraded modern man. Join us on BenPakulski.com to learn the cutting-edge techniques to take control of your body, your brain, and create your greatest life.
Hey guys, Ben Pakulski, Muscle Expert Podcast. Stop what you're doing now. This is the best episode I've ever recorded. Give yourself an hour and do not miss a minute. Go. Welcome back, ladies and gents. Ben Pakulski, Muscle Expert Podcast. We're going to dive deep on the science of a lot of great things today. Gut health and why you need to care, inflammation and hydration, how all those things are going to be intertwined. Dr. Zach Bush, welcome.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, man.
So grateful to have you. I found you, honestly, I found your product Restore, and it sounded so interesting to me. I actually heard it on a Ben Greenfield podcast, which I'm sure a lot of people have.
Yeah.
And then started looking deeper into some of the science, and I've been a big student of trying to optimize gut health. And you know, as a bodybuilder, I know, as a human being, I know inflammation is probably our number one killer, and trying to really do everything in my power in my day-to-day life to minimize inflammation or optimize gut health, and thereby downstream obviously maximize muscle building and maximize body composition, just hormonal function in general. So I'd love to have you take us down that path of why we care about gut health and how hydration and muscle health are going to be correlated to those things.
Absolutely. It's huge. So, yeah, I think it's exciting as we start to dive out of like our little, you know, narrow windows of biology, and you're doing a great job on your program of helping your listeners do this. And everybody who's engaged here in the audience, I'm sure all of you are hearing a ton on gut health these days. You can't pick up a single peer-reviewed journal article or even a newsstand type rag. You can't pick it up without it saying something about the importance of either the gut or the microbiome, meaning the bacteria, yeah, the fungi and all, yeah, that live around us. And so we're in a new era of science where we're starting to realize that human health is not an isolated event. Human health is a direct relationship to this greater ecosystem around us. Why is that important for something like muscle building and muscle maintenance and longevity, or just human performance in general? The reasons come down to the fact that some 90% of the work done in your human body is done by a bacteria. That's an extraordinary fact, because we think of ourselves as these human machines of 70 trillion cells that work hard and lift weight or perform at a high rate on the track or somewhere else. In fact, what you are is, more than anything, you're a bag. You're a big vessel for bacteria and fungi to move around the world. At this point in my science development, I'm starting to wonder if we were actually invented by the mitochondria or the bacteria, because it looks like we are such a minority in this world of cells around us that it's stunning.
It's so funny you say that. So I was just at the World Microbiome Society conference in Berlin, and that's literally what the kind of the takeaway was like, yeah, we're just a vesicle, right? We're a vehicle for these bacteria to kind of spread their DNA, or we don't know the motivation yet, but you know, 90% bacteria, that's absolutely where the thought process is going. I love that you brought that up.
And then, you know, you guys listening about muscle, you're thinking about mitochondria all the time. Mitochondria are inside those muscle cells, inside every single human cell. And the mitochondria are what actually produce the fuel that you're going to run on. Yep. And so you're focused right now on your diet a lot. If you're a bodybuilder or a high-performance athlete, you're going to be focused on things like your macronutrients, proteins, fat, carbohydrate content of your food. The misperception that's existed forever in nutrition is the fact that you're feeding your body that. You're not at all. Right. If you put food in your body, you are feeding the bacteria and fungi.
Yeah.
They're in turn going to feed your mitochondria, which are then in turn going to feed you. So you're three times removed from any food on your plate. And that's why I think we're going to see a revolution in our understanding of nutrition and human performance over the next couple of years, as we start to take into account the bacteria and the mitochondria and their role in connecting us back to that food. We're going to start picking different things to eat. Protein is a good example. We thought that for years we just assumed high protein diet was really important for athletes because muscle is primarily protein based. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that we're really increasingly realizing that you only need about, probably 10% of the protein that's currently recommended to athletes to maintain muscle mass from a protein standpoint. That's a huge paradigm shift. Why is that important? It's important because protein is extremely acidic. It's profoundly inflammatory to the gut lining, to the liver, and to the kidneys beyond that. And so if you guys are spending any time in a gym and you are being vulnerable with one another and talking in the locker room, you're going to find out that a lot of those young athletes actually have been diagnosed with stage 3 chronic kidney disease already because they're leaking protein in their urine and they have chronic kidney damage from the amount of protein they've consumed. Mm-hmm. And so we're finding out now that, man, we had this misperception that the food on the plate was going to turn on into muscle in our arms or whatever it is. It actually doesn't correlate like that at all. And so I think we can tie this together today with a real new definition of what is gut health and what does that mean for fueling muscle. And there's going to be, in this portion, we can talk about fueling muscle, but then you mentioned a really critical piece, which is hydration, which is completely tied to muscle recovery. If you have an adequate amount of water inside a cell, you can detox it all day long. Uh-huh. Your limitations in your capacity to lift for any amount of time or ultimately your lifting capacity for weight max is going to depend on how fast you can get lactic acid out of the cell. And that's going to be 100% correlated with the amount of water you have available inside the human cell. Mm-hmm. That takes actually a lot of work to get the water from your colon that you might be drinking into the blood vessel stream from the vascular system into an adjacent cell like a muscle, and then get that muscle cell to absorb the water and then utilize that to scrub the inside of the cell, eject the lactic acid and other oxidative compounds that are building up especially in an anaerobic workout. So those pieces all, it turns out, all three of those, kind of the fuel the muscle, hydrate the muscle, and detox the muscle, all of those are going to ultimately be tied back to the gut. And that's pretty profound and an awesome new territory. And so let's back up to the intestinal environment first. We know we are stripping the intestinal environment naked from its ecosystem by the amount of antibiotic we're exposed to. Of course, our doctors are prescribing a lot of antibiotics for anything from bronchitis and upper respiratory stuff all the way to, urinary tract or whatever it may be. However, the vast majority of antibiotics that we consume as Americans is in our food. And so meat especially. And so if you're a high meat intake, paleo diet, kind of ketogenic kind of thing, and you're pounding a lot of meat protein, what you don't know is you're getting, or maybe you do and you're frustrated by it, is you're getting an enormous amount of Roundup, which is a weed killer.
Glyphosate, yep.
That glyphosate compound within the Roundup has never been patented as a weed killer. It's only been patented as an antibiotic, anti-parasite, antifungal. It kills all of the single-celled organisms. So it's the most potent antibiotic we have in our environment as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. And it has a second huge detriment to the food. You can imagine what would happen. Right now we're spraying 4.5 billion pounds of Roundup into the soils of the earth. So it's the number one toxin on the planet right now. Some 75% of the air you breathe in the United States can be contaminated with that Roundup. Some 75% of the rainfall that falls on us is contaminated with Roundup. So we've introduced a water-soluble toxin that's now infiltrated all levels of the ecosystem, but it's also infiltrated all levels of our body. So your muscles are dealing with it. It's toxic to the mitochondria within those muscles, and it's all the way from the bloodstream, gut, all the way into your urine. We just did a clinical trial looking at healthy people and their effects on a supplement we'll tell you about a bit. And it was amazing to see all these healthy people come through, and not a single one of them had clean urine. Everybody had glyphosate in their urine, no matter how aggressive they were being with their organic diet or whatnot. We are just surrounded by this chemical that is potent antibiotic. So now imagine what's happening to our soil. We're denuding our soil of bacteria and fungi by spraying an antibiotic on it. That then, of course, starves the plant, right? The plant that's growing in that soil can no longer absorb the critical micronutrients. Things like selenium, manganese, and all these things are actually critical for muscle metabolism, aren't present in the food because it never got delivered to the root system of that plant. Then you take it a step further and find out that the same mechanisms by which the Roundup is blocking metabolism in the bacteria to kill it, it blocks that same enzyme pathway in the plants. And the plants now can't make essential amino acids. There's three of them, phenylalanine, tyrosine, and tryptophan, that are made through this enzyme pathway that's blocked directly by glyphosate. And so this Roundup chemical is blocking the ability for you to make three of your 26 amino acids. There's nine of your amino acids that we consider essential amino acids. That means you can't produce them in your body. Mm-hmm. As you probably know, amino acids are your building blocks for human protein. And so now imagine taking a full third of your essential amino acids out of the equation, subtract those from the alphabet. There's 26 letters in the English alphabet. There's 26 building blocks in amino acids to build the 200,000 proteins in your body. And so this extraordinary relationship is, you know, we're stripping the soil of bacteria and fungi, therefore stripping the plant of any nutrient that it would be absorbing from the soil, and blocking the plant's ability to make these essential amino acids for our system. Then you consume that food and it has tons of residue of the antibiotic glyphosate, and you're killing the bacteria in your gut. And so at these three levels, we're completely subtracting out nutrient potential and nutrient delivery via the ecosystem to your body and your gut. So those are kind of three of the kind of backdrop issues that you have as an athlete in the United States right now. You're overcoming that by superfeeding, right? And so you're fueling your body with an enormous amount of calories. And many of you are probably on a 4,000 or 5,000 calorie a day diet. That's basically a band-aid to the fact that you should be able to have the same human performance and muscle building capacity on a 2,500 calorie diet. You just can't, because the nutrient delivery is so poor. We're doing some nice studies in high performance large animals right now. And what we're seeing with that effect is, you know, if you fix the gut lining and the ecosystem they're in, your feed efficiency goes up, meaning you can eat less and gain more weight at the muscle level. Uh-huh. And so that, you know, that high performance animal is akin to our athletes. What I would love to see for you guys is you start integrating this gut health message that we'll continue with over the course of this hour. If you start the supplementation to get that ecosystem going and get the gut lining intelligent again, you're going to be able to put far fewer protein calories and such into your body and get the same or better result, because you've dropped the acid load on the body by less protein. You've increased the absorption of micronutrients that are really critical. You've improved the bacterial detoxification of the gut before it ever hits your immune system, all of these different levels. So that's kind of on your food delivery system.
So I'm sure a lot of people, the first question is coming up right now: can I just supplement? If my body's not going to be able to absorb manganese, selenium, all these other things, is it as simple as, hey, I'm going to throw a supplement in and try to augment the deficiencies in the soil and the food that I'm eating?
Great question. And what we've seen frustratingly is it just doesn't work.
Right.
So, in fact, we do the opposite. And so one of the best studies looking at this was the Women's Health Initiative study, 105,000 women, one of the biggest nutrition studies ever done in human history. 105,000 women tracked over a 20-year period. Most of these were in the health industry, so they were nutritionists, they were nurses, all of this that were enrolled. Those 105,000 women were tracked for vitamin and supplement intake. Amazingly, just a simple multivitamin increased death by 9% in this cohort. Wow. How is that possible? How is it possible to take important, healthy nutrients and it increases your risk of death? And I think we're actually seeing this across the board in our performance athletes. You'll notice that we've never mapped a longevity advantage for high-performance muscle athletes. The higher your muscle content, we have actually seen lower longevity, higher mortality. And so I think that this is a piece of that puzzle.
Did they draw any correlations there? Like, obviously, we can't just go, hey, you know, you're going to eat a multivitamin, you're going to die sooner. Would it be the fact that maybe these people are more neurotic, they're more stressed out, they're more apt to take a multivitamin because they're more concerned about their health?
Like, good question.
Did they draw any correlations?
Yeah, no, it turns out at 105,000, you've eliminated a lot of those kind of extra variables in there because they're such a huge control group, right? And so if it was just a cohort study where you're just saying, yeah, people with multivitamins, but here you've got people that are all kind of doing different neurotic things in their health, and the ones that are picking out, and we actually know the mechanism by which that's probably happening. So the problem here is that the human system, put this in a nutshell, the human system, you've got, for example, my field is endocrinology and metabolism. I'm an MD, and my background's in internal medicine, and then endocrinology and metabolism, cancer research, and the like. in my field of endocrinology, which is how hormones regulate your metabolism, the way in which you utilize fuel, the way in which you either build fat or muscle, all of this, that's governed by somewhere around 4,000 hormones. Those 4,000 hormones are a symphony of activity. And what we see if we just give you testosterone, we screw up the other 4,000 hormones. Same thing with multivitamins. A multivitamin, by and large, is not benign. They're all steroid. A lot of these are steroid hormones, vitamin D being a really good example of a steroid hormone that's just like very similar to testosterone or estrogen. These are, by and large, the vitamins, vitamin Bs, the Ds, the C. These are going to be receptor-based compounds that are hitting a human receptor, and they're forcing a metabolic event downstream. Now imagine a piece of food that has this perfect balance that we've developed with for thousands of years in our own kind of maturation as a species. Something like, take an example of an heirloom potato, for example. The Peruvian purple potato has incredible diversity of over 150 different micronutrients. It has over 1,000 different microRNA variants that are going to govern your response to that food. It's going to have this huge impact through its micronutrient and its genetic makeup. And then you take into consideration its fiber content and other things in the sugar molecules that are in there. So if you've got manganese in that sweet potato, you're going to get that in with this symphony going on around it that will keep it fine-tuned. Now, if we try to shortcut that and say, here's some manganese, well, you will never be able to match the nutritional benefit that you would get from that Peruvian potato by just superfeeding one or two nutrients. And unfortunately, if you superfeed one or two nutrients, you just asked your body to do something it's never had to do before, which is handle 100 milligrams of manganese or 150 milligrams of selenium or whatever. It would take days and days of superfeeding to get that much, selenium in your diet. And so we're superfeeding our body and not realizing that we're stressing it by putting it through an abnormal environment. Why does it stress it? Largely, I think it's because these are not in a bioavailable form. So why is a potato different than a multivitamin? Very similar mix of nutrients on there. However, you've got a perfect bioavailability balance with the sugars, the fibers, and everything else in the potato that you're totally missing from a multivitamin. The bioavailability that comes through a healthy gut is that all of your food should be digested by a bacteria or a fungi first. And once it does that, the bacteria and fungi make a family of molecules that we isolated in 2012. And that family of molecules are metabolites or breakdown products that we've never recognized before as like part of our important communication network coming out of our food. And I believe this was really the uncovering of why isn't superfeeding nutrition working in our hospitals or in our performance gyms? Why doesn't it work to give lots of simple nutrients to the human being? For example, if you're hyper-supplementing L-carnitine or a protein like that, that is such an abnormal event for the liver to handle a single amino acid at that dosage. So you're going to end up with an acidic bowel lining and you're going to start to decrease the absorption of other micronutrients. You may be loading L-carnitine, but you just screwed up the metabolism and absorption of any number of maybe thousands of other compounds that you should have been pulling in next to that L-carnitine in a balanced ratio. So once you start to appreciate the complexity of this human gut environment, you realize, wow, to actually tell somebody this is what you should consume from a supplement standpoint in regard to your amino acids and vitamins, it's actually impossible. And so this is where I think more and more you guys as athletes are finding out that this is so important to be on a whole food diet. You can supplement something if you want, but it better be low dose and it better be intermittent. So if you're on a routine right now where you're doing a lot of L-carnitine or you're doing, some amino acid superloading, highly recommend A, back down on your dose and go intermittently, where it might be 3 days a week. You go in and hit the gut with some extra amino acid. But I think you're going to find out your performance is much better if you're not daily stressing the system with that hyperload.
So do you think that the effect that people will be seeing is just the breakdown of the gut integrity and increasing acid load and poor absorption?
Absolutely. Okay. And you can go into any GNC or any gym, mm-hmm. and you're going to hear that 80% of the consumers there that are taking these high-protein diets have irritable bowel syndrome. They've got bloating. They've got gas issues. They have constipation or chronic kind of small volume squirting stools with diarrhea, they've got totally abnormal bowel function, and it has a lot to do with that acidic bowel lining that we create by hyperloading the gut. So what's the solution at this point? You know, what? How are we going to do this?
That's literally what I was going to ask you. I was like, yeah, okay, so
it's like, okay, so this is sounding impossible. Great.
Right. Yeah.
So the answer comes back to, of course, Mother Nature. So what is it that we eliminated when we started killing the bacteria, fungi in the soil and in our guts with our antibiotic environment? What we started eliminating is literally the electrical circuitry. It's at the biochemical level, these are called redox molecules.
Yep.
The carbon-based molecules that I mentioned earlier that are metabolites or breakdown products of the food as it's digested by bacteria and fungi, the metabolites therein are these carbon molecules that have oxygen-hydrogen binding on one end of the molecule. That's the family I found in 2012, and I found it because it was similar to the biochemistry of some of the compounds I had developed for chemotherapy and cancer stuff. And so in finding that, and then finding out subsequently that they were made by bacteria and fungi in the soil, it was just this huge excitement moment of, oh my gosh, this is why my nutrition clinic is failing.
Right.
My nutrition clinic was again and again feeding superfood to all my patients, and we were seeing them get more bloated, more inflammation, going the wrong direction on some of the healthiest foods on the planet. And the answer was, my gosh, their gut's not anywhere near ready to deal with that superfood because they don't have the bioavailability mechanisms to get that superfood into their bloodstream in a safe and effective fashion. So we found these carbon molecules. Each one is like a snowflake. You're familiar with the snowflake. Each one slightly different crystal shape than the next.
Yep.
These carbon molecules are very similar to that, that each species of bacteria and fungi make their own little subset of these snowflakes. If you get an adequate diversity of these carbon snowflakes, they literally create a colloidal structure, which is like a liquid circuit board that will line a gut lining or an intracellular, extracellular space within the body, vascular system, your kidney tubules. These things line up to create a colloidal kind of structure to support electrical transmission. And that electrical transmission has been done through hydrogen absorption and release. So you get kind of a positive negative charge phenomenon, almost like a digital signal going through your computer board. You've got a digital signals of pluses and minuses that are traveling through your gut lining, your vascular tree, your kidney tubules, etc. And so when we find out, you know, this molecule family exists, we suddenly realize this is the mechanism. This is the missing piece between how do we get the microbiome back in action? How do we get the blood vessels and the gut lining to start to go back into a bioavailable action phase? Mm-hmm. And so we started this in 2012 in my cancer patients initially. That was our main target. And then subsequently, we've rolled it out to the world in a million different conditions because it turns out that gut health is for everybody. And so what we've seen over and over again now is this profound threefold effect by getting these carbon molecules back into play. The product is called Restore, and the website's restoreforlife.com. It's got some of the science papers that we've published and stuff like that if you want to really dive deeper into the science here. But let me just summarize the three big pieces of the physiology benefit that you're going to get so that everything that you are doing in your life that's healthy is going to work better. Number one, it's going to expand the ecosystem. And so we see a bulking of the stools within a few days of starting Restore. The bulking of the stools is a fantastic result because what you want to see is an expansion of the microbiome. We also see a big yin-yang balancing effect within that microbiome. We have patients who have had candida, for example, yeast overgrowth or small bowel intestinal bacterial overgrowth for decades. They'll start on this compound of sterile compound. It's not a probiotic. It's, in fact, it has no bacteria or fungi in it. It has the metabolites or the breakdown products of those bacteria and fungi, which functions as this kind of wireless communication network. As they take that, the expansion of the microbiome then reinforces the supplement itself. And so not only are you supplementing, you know, carbon snowflakes that actually don't even exist anymore, we're extracting these from a biome that existed 50 million years ago. So we have a fossil soil level that we extract this from. So you're going to get an intelligence that your body's simply never seen and actually is not capable of producing itself because we don't have this level of microbiome left. However, the microbiome you do have will start reinforcing the production of these metabolites. And so you get this beautiful feedback loop of production, which is going to expand the microbiome and eliminate a lot of the weed overgrowth that you may be suffering. It's very likely you do have candida or Klebsiella or Clostridium or some of these other weed-like bacteria that have overgrown your bowel environment. if you're on a probiotic, you're doing something similar. You're creating a monoculture. You're narrowing your bacterial microbiome. A probiotic will typically have 3 species or 7 species therein, but they have it at huge copy. So your bottle might say 35 billion bacteria. Well, that's 35 billion of the same species. Right. And so, in fact, it's not even 35 billion bacteria. It's 35 billion colonies of bacteria that a probiotic will form. And so that's a huge, you know, issue. If you're chronically on a probiotic, you just are going to take your 30,000 species and zip them right down to 7 species.
Right.
And so we want to, again, if you're on a probiotic or you've found that helpful for your health in the past, you're going to want to back off on that and do it intermittently at best, maybe a couple times a week. So you get an expansion of the microbiome, you get this yin-yang balancing effect of the microbiome, and then you hit the gut lining.
And this podcast is brought to you by ATP Labs. I want to give you guys an opportunity to get one of ATP Labs' premier products. It's called IGF. And the reason it's called IGF is there's been some research that suggested optimizing your brain function can actually help increase IGF secretion when you're training. So this product is a really great pre-workout focus product. It's not going to be a tremendously stimulating product, but it's going to really, really help with focus. So this is the type of product I like to take maybe later in the day when I'm training. And I know that I'm going to be able to have to sleep a little bit later, or I'll combine it with a cup of coffee or something like that before I do my workout, because it's loaded with my favorite ingredient, which is alpha GPC. And I hope you guys enjoy. You can use code BPAK, B-P-A-K, on atplabs.com, A-T-P-L-A-B, or L-A-B-S.com. Both of those will work. So enjoy the podcast.
So when you say the expansion of the microbiome, is it literally expanding the diversity? You guys have seen like new bacterial cultures being developed?
That's right. New species getting set up. The new species phenomenon is being introduced through your breath and through your food, mostly through your breath. The step one for getting your microbiome back is actually breathing new environments. And so as soon as my patients start on Restore, I'll have them take a weekend trip out to the Appalachian Mountains, stand by the waterfalls and breathe there for a couple hours, find a forest system that you've never seen before, then take a trip the next weekend out to Virginia Beach and spend your day at the beach breathing that air.
God, that's beautiful. Go down
to Georgia and spend a couple days in the swamps down there and just breathe some old air.
Man, I love that idea so much. That's just
so
reconnected
powerful.
With nature, right? Yeah, amazing.
And so, you know, think about your day right now. If you're listening right now, most of the air you breathe is an air-conditioned space, in a gym, in an office, in a car. You're not getting any microbiome diversity there. So even if you had the compost and the signaling and communication network in place, you're going to be very slow to increase that microbiome shift. Where we see the help is actually in your pets. We see the fastest gut recovery once we start people on Restore if they have a pet in the home, especially if it's an outdoor animal. And so if you've got a dog in the home, you're going to see a much faster expansion of your microbiome once you get Restore on board, because that pet is bringing that outdoor microbiome to you even if you do spend most of your day indoors. And so that's an idea. If you've got a chronic gut issue, I would highly recommend thinking about a dog in your environment. And if you can't have a dog in your home, think about, well, maybe it's your brother, your sister, your parents, or your neighbor. Drop by, and if twice a week you could spend half an hour petting a dog and interacting with a dog, let the dog lick your face. One of the brilliant things that dogs do is they lick their ass and then they lick their face. You know, so that's really, really smart stuff from a microbiome standpoint. And so I don't recommend trying that with your neighbor unless there's a consent process that goes on and all that. But the reality is very interesting that these pets can help, you know, tie us back into the nature that we were produced for, that we really evolved with. And so anyway, those are some of the mechanisms for expansion of the microbiome. Step two with Restore, we've shown that this is really the first product on the shelf to support the expansion of the extracellular matrix. Everything else you're doing right now, L-carnitine, you know, your vitamin compounds, any hormone therapy you're doing, all of those are directed to the inside of the human cell. Mm-hmm. Different pathways within the cell might be, ultimately genomic pathways. If it's a hormone like vitamin D, you're going to be triggering about 2,000 different genes with that compound. All of that's inside the cell. Restore is the very first product to really be shown to support the extracellular matrix outside of the cell. this is so critical because it turns out that you can't have food delivery or hydration or detox of a cell if it's lonely. If it's broken down and become isolated, if it's not connected to its neighbors, A, it's not functioning as a cooperative part of a larger ecosystem, but B, it can't detox, it can't fuel properly, and it starts to move towards a cancer cell.
What would be some of the things that would cause that type of, maybe you're working onto that anyways, but what are some of the type of things that cause that disconnection of the intracellular extracellular matrix?
Perfect. So there's a number that you're, as an athlete, probably exposed to, and a big one is anti-inflammatories. And so your NSAIDs, things like Motrin, ibuprofen, Advil, these compounds break down those tight junctions. Tight junctions are the Velcro proteins that hold one cell to the next. They're kind of like spot welds that are watertight. So your gut membrane is, you know, kind of ground zero, actually, for this. The gut membrane is billions and billions of tiny microscopic cells all laced together with these Velcro proteins called tight junctions. And so if you take ibuprofen routinely after, you know, working out, or you've got an injury to your Achilles or whatever it is, and you're taking ibuprofen, you're destroying the integrity of that connectivity of the cells. The number two most common toxin, or maybe the most common toxin that we see as humans, is alcohol. Alcohol is a direct toxin to the tight junction, causes leaky membranes. It's why it causes the brain fog and kind of the drunk state. It's also the reason you get a hangover. Hangover is actually mainly dehydration. And so that hangover effect is because you've busted apart the gut membrane and the vascular membranes, and so you can't get water into the cell. In fact, you start leaking water out of the system, and your cells are becoming dehydrated. Your brain is dehydrated, and your peripheral nerves are dehydrated. The kidneys are dehydrated, and you have ache the next day if you've drank too much. And so alcohol and anti-inflammatories are kind of number one and two as far as the most common toxins that we think of as something we're voluntarily putting into our body. But the involuntary exposure that we get is far greater than this. Again, Roundup is the culprit. So it turns out that Roundup, our lab is the first one to really kind of tease out the mechanisms of this over the last 4 years. But the Roundup itself that's in your food is actually not only destroying the front line of defense, which is the microbiome, it's a direct toxin to those tight junctions. So it's causing a leaky gut, leaky brain, leaky kidney tubule phenomenon by just being present. So those are the two main things that Roundup do, and it's also the two main things that the Restore does. It's going to help support that tight junction environment to reproduce or re-support an intelligent gut membrane so that you start absorbing what you're supposed to absorb and keep out what you're not supposed to be absorbing. Right now, if you're supplementing as an American, you're peeing out most of your supplements. Very, very small percentage of any of your supplements, no matter how good or bad they are going to end up inside a human cell. The vast majority will pass through into the bloodstream and then be cleared by the kidneys before a human cell ever has to deal with it, which is probably good because your body shouldn't be dealing with the macro loading that you've been told you might be supposed to be due. However, you know, we've got this phenomenon now that, you know, because of the leak that's happening from the glyphosate, this is a much bigger problem than it would be otherwise. And so you're getting way too much abnormal delivery of nutrients in the small intestine that should be absorbed distal to small intestine or colon, and you're leaking it right into the bloodstream early on in the digestive process because you don't have an intelligent membrane. So Restore is going to put back together the tight junctions and everything from the nasal sinuses. We have a nasal spray that's really important for the athlete and breathing. We can do another podcast on breathing and the nasal compound. But you do it orally, and you're going to get that intelligent membrane back in action from the esophagus, the stomach, the duodenum, which is the first section of the small intestine. Duodenal leak is a huge problem for the athlete. If you have duodenal leak, then you get huge sympathetic dysregulation, very hard to keep your base heart rate down, and you'll find your basal heart rate rising even with excellent cardiovascular health because your vagus nerve is so overstimulated by duodenal health. If you're finding this as an athlete where you can't really reach, you're having a hard time reaching max cardiac potential, your VO2 max is kind of plateaued and you can't push it up to where you know you should be, chances are you have duodenal inflammation.
And how do we test for that?
Heart rate variability is a good test. And so if you've lost heart rate variability, you've got that. So you can, they've got, you know, Fitbit type things that will measure your heart rate variability, things like that. So that'd be an easy tool that you can do. But other things that will tell you the same thing would be resting glucose. And so if you're resting glucose, if your fasting glucose is up over 95 or 100, you've got small intestine and liver inflammation going on as well. So fasting, glucose, and heart rate variability would be two warning systems.
So Restore would kind of be your first line of defense?
Yeah. So Restore, you put that back in the system, you're going to get a huge effect on the microbiome. They're going to start detoxing your environment more effectively. There's bacteria that are actually able to break down and decrease the amount of glyphosate that ever hits your body. And other compounds, plastics, you know, the hormone disruptors that are in your food, all kinds of different things can be metabolized out by the microbiome before it ever hits the human liver. And so there's a huge win with that. Number two, you're going to create that intelligent gut membrane. But remember, it goes beyond the gut. Your vascular system is going to become intelligent and across the board. What does that mean for hydration? So certainly with nutrient delivery, it's obvious now. But with hydration, this primarily happens in the colon. Your colon, we've been told for years, is where you make most of your water hydration effect happen. Well, the issue with the word hydration is it's been oversimplified by the doctors, the scientists, and therefore in our lay public as well. It's one thing to get water from the colon into your bloodstream, which happens if you have an intelligent colon. If you get the tight junctions put back together in the colon, you're going to absorb water really well. If you've been prone to kind of diarrheal type pattern of irritable bowel syndrome, when you start Restore, you may find yourself a little bit constipated or with dry stools for a couple days, because as soon as you put that gut membrane back together, the first thing it's going to do is absorb water out of your gut. And so you might leave your stool a little bit dry if you're super dehydrated. If that happens, then you just increase the amount of water and magnesium that you're taking in, and you'll rehydrate the stool as well. But the mechanism by which that happens is very important. Not only are the tight junctions coming together, the downstream effect of a tight junction membrane reconstituting is you get a high electrical charge across that membrane. And that high electrical charge is what pulls water across it. So now you've successfully pulled water into the bloodstream of the body. But what by and large is now going to happen is you're now pee that out as it hits the kidney tubules before that water ever gets inside a human cell. And so if you're an athlete and you find yourself thirsty all the time, you're drinking water all the time, 9 times out of 10, you're peeing clear. That means you're never getting that water inside a cell. You're not doing lactic acid detox. You're not getting the oxalates out of your cells. You're forcing all this L-carnitine and other amino acid supplementation into the muscle, but you're not getting the water there to help detox that cell once it starts to metabolize those amino acids and everything else. And so what you have to do next, you have to have that negative charge not just across the colon membrane, but you have to get it across a blood vessel membrane and then ultimately across a single cell membrane. And we've seen Restore do this by a couple different mechanisms. So Restore is going to improve the gut membrane within minutes to hours of your first intake. Then it will take you about a week to start to see the vascular and kidney effects really starting to set in, where you're starting to clear toxin better and everything else. At 2 weeks in, you've dropped your glyphosate levels by 20% already. And so your body will decrease the amount of glyphosate it has to clear within 2 weeks, because you've improved the microbiome, improved your barrier systems of the tight junctions, and improve the hydration that's now detoxing the body of some of these compounds. So that's kind of some of the stepwise process that you can see. The last step of getting electrical charge across the single cell membrane has to do with mitochondria again. And this is the very cool story that we're now teasing out with Restore. Here you have a communication network that's being made by the bacteria and fungi in your gut. And if you now take that and put it into a human cell culture and watch what the mitochondria do, it gets really exciting. This is the first compound we've ever seen that does the opposite thing at the human mitochondria, depending if the cell is healthy or damaged. In a damaged cell, the mitochondria suddenly bursts out a big reactive oxygen species signal when Restore hits the cell. In contrast, if it's a healthy cell, it decreases the reactive oxygen signaling. And so you get this nice divergence of healthy versus damaged cells. What that means for your body is you get much more intelligent and targeted at identifying which cell populations need quick repair. For an athlete, this is all about muscle recovery. So Restore has this really cool effect of being able to quickly sort out in the body what is just, you know, a cell that's not damaged but just has an increased lactic acid component because you just worked out, and which cell actually has sustained damage from maybe overexertion or, you know, whatever it may have been, maybe a traumatic injury, you actually had a micro tear in the muscle. Mm-hmm. All of that sorts out much quicker at the cellular level once Restore is helping kind of work out the signals or tease out the nuance of the signals from the mitochondria within those two cell populations, damaged versus non. And so that's a really exciting piece of the muscle recovery thing that we're getting to see exciting data on. So those are, in a nutshell, I know I just covered a bunch of things and I talk really fast, but I'm ready for some questions and answers for you and your audience. But I think that the broad brushstrokes in summary are, right now you're lacking bacteria and fungi because you're eating antibiotics unintentionally. Number two, you're leaking at the gut and the vascular and your kidney tubule level because there's glyphosate damaging that because there's maybe alcohol in your diet and there might be anti-inflammatories in your diet. Oh, Miralax is a big problem, by the way. So the Miralax drug is an over-the-counter for constipation. Some of you may be taking Miralax because you have a constipation pattern, irritable bowel. Miralax is much worse than the NSAIDs at destroying tight junctions. So don't take Miralax. And so if you have constipation, Restore is going to help you out, and then just add magnesium. Hydration, magnesium, and Restore should be the only thing you use for constipation. If you need Senna-T or something like that, temporarily fine. But for your long-term stance, Restore, magnesium, and water, that should do it for you. So you've got leak going on across the system, and then third of all, your immune system is overwhelmed, and you've got this oxidative positive charge stress because you're inundating it with not only your supplements, but the food you're eating is crossing that membrane inappropriately and overwhelming the immune system and shifting you towards a chronic inflammatory state. I don't think I actually touched on that one. Chronic inflammation is due to a lack of antioxidant reservoir. Everything you see at the health food store is preaching, hey, we're an antioxidant, the goji berry or, you know, whatever, you know, superfood kale or, yeah, they're antioxidants, but they attribute about 4% of your total body antioxidants. So even if you're like eating the perfect antioxidant diet, you're only really affecting 4% of your total body pool of antioxidant. The 96% of your antioxidant reservoir is actually produced inside the human cells. And that's another cool thing about Restore is we're showing that as soon as the bacterial communication network hits your gut lining, we see an 800% increase in glutathione production at those local cells. And so that's kind of the third piece. You fix the microbiome, fix the gut membrane, and support the immune system with an antioxidant reservoir. And now at three levels, you're prepared to be an athlete with good food delivery, good nutrient delivery, good hydration, and an immune system that's prepared and equipped to deal with the natural injury that's going to happen with any exertion.
So what does this mean for future supplementation? Is it the type of thing where you take Restore, you no longer need other supplements, or because your body will absorb more from food, or will it actually make you less susceptible to destroying the gut wall, increasing inflammation from taking those mega doses of supplements?
I think that by and large, right away from our patient population, what we do is immediately decrease the supplementation, not necessarily eliminating it. Things that I tend to eliminate quickly are definitely the single amino acid proteins. I'd much rather you be on like a pea protein supplement that's representing, you know, hundreds of different proteins and structures in it instead of just an L-carnitine-based one or something like that. So I would eliminate single amino acid supplements, and I would eliminate probiotics. Otherwise, whey protein is another good example of a very narrow protein exposure. So I'd rather see a pea protein rather than a whey protein in the mix. You're going to have less overwhelm or less of that kind of narrow effect on the system.
And no concern for like the poor amino acid profile or the lectin presence in pea proteins?
Not at all, because, again, only 8 or 9 of the amino acids are actually essential, you know, meaning they can't be made by your human body. Mm-hmm. And with Restore, what you're doing is you're putting soil back in your gut, right? You're getting this huge burst of good soil microbiome going. Your gut should look like organic soil. It should be this huge booming ecosystem. Those bacteria make all of your amino acids, including the essential amino acids. So as you increase the microbiome in your gut, the need to supplement a single course of action is very low. What you want with the pea proteins is way beyond just the amino acids that are there. The pea proteins have the greens in there. The greens are made by the chloroform-producing plant plastids. And these look like mitochondria, just a different structure within the plant. We can't make those green plastid outputs. Those tune our microbiome as well. So if you switch from pea protein from whey protein, you're not just getting amino acid delivery, you're getting a stimulation to the microbiome that you can't create through, you know, a dairy dairy protein. And so there's a lot of benefits way beyond amino acids. I think more and more as you dive into nutrition as an audience, you guys are going to find out that we've been way oversimplifying our belief that whatever's on our plate is what ends up in our body. Again, it's going to be what is on your plate is going to be what feeds your microbiome. I am a huge fan of shifting things up. So if you want to keep your whey protein, I'd say fine, do that 3 or 4 times a month. But then 5 or 6 times a month, do pea protein to alternate that out. You're going to stimulate the microbiome in a different way. You're going to benefit from a diversification of the gut flora and everything else. Never think that you have to eat all of the amino acids that your body needs. That's just inaccurate kind of misperception or a good sales plug by marketing companies. The reality is your body, and especially your microbiome, but even the human body can make, you know, 18 of our amino acids without a problem. And so it can make it from anything. It doesn't even need protein. So you can make most of your amino acids, and then your microbiome will make the other 8 or 9 for you.
Interesting, man. So how did you discover Restore, you know, the redox molecules, the carbon-based molecules? Like I'm
totally accidental. Yep. Total accident. Yeah. So I was running my nutrition clinic. I left my chemotherapy research in an academic position at University of Virginia in 2010, started a nutrition center for reversing chronic disease and improving human performance in Central Virginia in 2010. After 2 years of running that clinic, we were starting to get really frustrated with the fact that a lot of our patients were getting worse, not better on health food. So we started delving into food science deeper. We had been applying science that had come out of the 1970s and 80s from Colin Campbell at Cleveland Clinic and Gabe Merkin and the like. All these guys were kind of the godfathers of, you know, teaching us that nutrition was way beyond just macronutrients of protein, carbohydrates, and everything else. And so we were applying some phenomenal kind of breakthrough paradigm shifting science from the 70s and 80s and finding that it wasn't working as well as it should. And so in that journey, we started asking questions, has the kale changed? Has the nutrients in a potato changed? And the answer really quickly was, oh my gosh, it's changed radically. It's very hard to get nutrient dense foods off a grocery store shelf now. So then we asked the next question is, well, what's happened to the soil? Is it because of something that happened in the soil that the plants aren't having these nutrients? I didn't know any of the story about glyphosate or anything at this time. And so at that point, we were going through a 90-page paper on soil science, and on page 40 is this huge, elaborate carbon molecule that would ultimately become the active ingredient in Restore. And it was talking about the fact that this was able to bind nutrients. It could carry amino acids. It could help carry micronutrients. But the thing that caught my eye is that the oxygen-hydrogen capacity on the right-hand side of this molecule looked like the chemotherapy I had been making. And so it was just this aha moment of, oh my gosh, for thousands of years, science has been looking to plants as medicinals. But it might be a much deeper story that the soil might have the medicine that our body is really lacking now. And that was the big breakthrough for Restore.
Pretty amazing. What does the future look like for nutrition, for supplementation in your eyes? And how do we really optimize performance? You know, it sounds pretty evident that, you know, step one is find this product, heal your gut.
Step two is grow your own food. So I think, yeah. You know, our highest performance athletes in 10 years are going to be the ones that are sprouting their own food at home. You can do this very easily. You don't need a garden to do this. If you start, you can put a little bit of Restore in the water of your sprouter, and you'll get, you know, this incredible nutrient delivery system going. So you can sprout, like one of my favorites is broccoli seeds. But you can get seed mixes now that have broccoli seeds, you know, sprouts, all kinds of different things in there. I'm a huge fan of chia sprouts and lots of different compounds. All of our really successful elite athletes are now doing some version of this at home where they're sprouting their own food and getting hypernutrient in through whole food sources rather than through bottles of GNC. And so I think that's really the future of optimal human performance is tying ourselves back into the original food chain. A sprouted grain has incredible properties to it. We have a lot of fear about gluten sensitivity. Well, gluten sensitivity didn't get created until we added glyphosate to the diet. You can take a look at restoreforlife.com. There's peer-reviewed journal articles there where we've published the mechanism by which there's this synergy between gluten and glyphosate to induce that injury. So unfortunately, I think that's told people that grains are bad for us. Well, sprouted grains are actually phenomenally good for the microbiome and really hard to replace in the diet. There are fiber, really important soluble and insoluble fibers in the whole grains that you can't get from any other source within the diet. And so I highly recommend to get some of these sprouted grains back into your diet in the mix. So anyway, those are some examples, I think, of where nutrition is going, is we're going to get closer back to producing our own food. We outsourced our food, and that's why Monsanto exists as a chemical company that owns all of our corn and soybean, is because we just outsourced that stuff. So we're going to start moving back towards producing our own nutrients, and we're going to get a much cleaner result.
That's awesome. You know, I'm a huge advocate of doing that myself, and I'm working toward it. It's you know, maybe it's not a big project, but in my brain, I build it up to be a big project. Where does the Restore come from? So you said something along the lines of, 10 million year old soil.
Yeah.
That you've managed to somehow recreate the existence or the situation that existed 10 million years ago.
50 million years ago. Yeah. So 50 million years ago, the Southwest United States was actually a rainforest. And so we had this huge microbiome soil represented there. The soils were thought to be some 20 feet thick, at least. You're lucky to find 12 inches of topsoil on the earth right now. And so we had a depth of topsoil and complexity of the fungal and bacterial environment in that soil that just doesn't exist on earth. The good news is that soil compressed over the last 50 million years into a nice layer of fossil soil. It's basically young coal. If you left that in the ground for another 500 million years, you'd end up with coal. But in this fossil state of soil where you still have oxygen, hydrogen binding capacity in these carbon molecules, we can extract those. It's sterile soil. It's a fossil that doesn't have any significant bacteria in it. We do that extraction out in the Southwest United States in the desert there. So we have our own facility where we do the water extraction process, and then we bring it all out here to Virginia, and then we put it through a catalyst system that gets the oxygen hydrogen activity back into it. The raw material right from the fossil soil actually doesn't do anything to membranes, but as soon as you get the oxygen hydrogen redox potential back into the compound, then you get this magical kind of communication network back up into play.
Pretty amazing, man. So I'm curious as to what you take and what you eat on a day-to-day basis. Like, how much are you growing your own stuff? Are you taking any supplements? Because I'm sure a lot of people are saying, okay, well, what do I do? And maybe by giving them a framework, well, I do this, try this, people actually get some great takeaways.
Totally. Yeah, so the supplements I take is Restore, Restore, Restore. The thing you do is three times a day. When we first launched the product, we just thought once a day was going to be enough because it has a pretty long biologic half-life to it. But what we didn't anticipate was the speed at which the gut was turning over. And so it turns out that every 72 hours, your entire gut lining has renewed with totally new cells, new tight junctions, everything else. So if you take a dose in the morning, 12 hours later, some 15 to 20% of your gut is unprotected again as that compound has moved through. And so we have found, especially with neurologic function, one of the fastest benefits to taking Restore is improved brain focus. And so you'll have better actually visual capacity. You'll see colors better. You can actually have better capacity for multitasking, all this stuff, because you're taking the stress off the vagus nerve, which is the big signal to the brain for that fight or flight state and inflammation and the rest. And so you get this high neurologic effect. And so we use it a lot in conditions like autistic kids who have totally messed up guts and everything else. For your autistic kid, for example, they'll see that benefit of the gut-brain connection if you take the once-a-day dose in the morning. But then by the afternoon, if they haven't redosed, their verbal scores are going down again and everything else. And so by supporting the midday with another dose, you're going to find, especially if you have an irritable bowel, you're going to find that the more you support the microbiome with Restore, the better things are going to get. And so for me, for example, I just carry one of the travel bottles of Restore with me all the time. And anytime I'm about to snack or eat, which is maybe 22 times a day, I'm spraying that Restore right back there with a tiny dose. If you want to just take it intermittently three times a day, you're up at like anywhere from 5 mils, which is a teaspoon, to 15 mils, a tablespoon, three times a day. That's totally adequate. But I find that my gut really likes the constant small support more than just one big dose in the morning or something like that. And so spreading it out through the day is really helpful. And then the rest of my supplementation really comes back down to my food. So I eat primarily a totally plant-based diet. The things I really try to avoid are dairy. Dairy products are really harmful for the human liver and everything else. We're not cows. And even if we were a cow, you'll notice that that cow grows from 40 pounds to 400 pounds and then is kicked off the teat and never drinks milk again in its life. And so we're just a mistaken species. We're the only species that consumes any milk beyond infancy. And we're the only species that eats, consumes some other species' breast milk. And so we've screwed up dairy really thoroughly with our perceptions of it. And it's totally bogus that it delivers calcium to our bone. That's all totally made up marketing stuff, not science. And so eliminate the dairy. Meat proteins are very hard to find clean, and you want to do them only intermittently. So, you know, if you're catching your own stream caught fish in a clear stream up in Montana, I can't really argue with you. Sounds good. But the reality is, if you go to a restaurant, you go out into a grocery store, by and large, you're eating farm-raised fish, which means you're eating a ton of GMO corn. That fish is, like tilapia, for example, is raised 90% on GMO corn. Fish aren't supposed to eat corn, and they're certainly not supposed to eat genetically modified corn. So the fish itself is sick and dying by the time you're consuming that meat. And so you've got a screwed up, you know, stressed out piece of meat you just put in your mouth. Has a lot of ramifications for your own genomics and everything else. So the answer is really become, you know, not a paleo diet, become a paleo man. Find your own food, raise your own food, get as close to your ecosystem as possible. In my Virginia home, I've got a big garden, but it's seasonal. So in the off season of gardening, then you're going to want to bring in the sprouts. And so sprouting foods during this, and then fermentation is a huge cool piece of the puzzle. Start fermenting your own food. It's pennies on the dollar. I mean, you can create a whole crock of sauerkraut for a buck. You know, get one head of cabbage, salt, and water, and you just made sauerkraut. And so a really cool way. And you do an air fermentation, it's going to be a totally different result than the probiotic prepared ferments that you would get at the grocery store, by and large. You can get some products of wild ferment sauerkrauts and stuff at the grocery store, but you got to read the label and make sure it's wildly fermented, which means that it's air fermented, which means that hundreds of species are coming out of the air and digesting that into a fermented food product for you. So get the fermented foods back in your thing. There's a couple of great companies you can order online through too, if you don't have the time to grow this stuff at home. But again, it really takes seconds a day to do it. You know, it takes a couple seconds to make a saltwater brine, a couple of tablespoons of salt, water, put it in a crock, throw in a chopped cabbage. My favorite is actually turnips. If you grate a turnip, it can create something called sour Reuben instead of sauerkraut. Sour Reuben is freaking delicious to throw onto a sandwich or something like that. But if you do a tablespoon or two of fermented food next to, you know, some sprouted grains, some sprouts, some broccoli sprouts onto a sprouted grain sandwich, and you got some fermented foods in there, and then you throw a good protein source into there, something like, my favorite is high oil content. So I love hummus for that reason. Now, you can do hummus from other things than chickpeas as well. Fortunately, the industry is starting to catch up with this, and you're starting to get lots of different varieties of different hummuses. There's an almond hummus that's really interesting on the market right now that has some neat micronutrient compounds. But the important thing is it has a ton of oil. So I'm a huge fan of oil delivery. So avocado, the MCT oils from coconut oil, all those are shown to have a huge impact on athletic performance and everything else. And so those are big pieces of my diet. Macadamia nuts are one of my go-tos for snacking. Incredible fat and carbohydrate mix in the macadamia nut, relatively low protein nut. So there's some benefits there to the macadamia as a snacker. So the avocados, the macadamians, and then a clean fish would be the kind of protein structure for a month would look pretty good.
Are you concerned with the glyphosate content in those nuts and those veggies? Obviously, we know
it's totally. Just because you're...
Yeah, so yeah, it's totally. So hard to find good quality organic nuts.
So hard, yeah. So for macadamia nuts, I go to nuts.com is a great place to go. So nuts.com, you can get a pound of organic macadamia nuts already shelled for like $20, and it'll last you a couple weeks. I mean, mm-hmm. The nice thing about macadamia nuts is four nuts is like, you know, 150 calories. So you can get a, you know, out of a quick two-second snack, you can get a good calorie load with a great fat content and go with it.
Great. That's awesome, man. How long should people be taking Restore before they start to see a benefit? Obviously, it sounds like they should probably be on it every day for the rest of their life. But if someone wants to see kind of a quick benefit, what are they looking at?
You're looking at anything from minutes to hours for the first sense of like, oh, some brain clarity and everything else. Hmm. That'll happen in a segment of the population, maybe 20% of people starting it. The rest of us, it's more like 3 to 5 days before we start to see benefit. If you're really at a high performance level right now, then you're going to need something like heart rate variability monitoring or fasting glucose levels. You're going to need to do some further biohacking. So the healthier you are right now, like if you feel like you're at top performance, you can't think of a single ailment in your body or a single way you can make yourself healthier, then you're going to need to do some biohacking and find some other, you know, non-symptomatic measures to see the benefit. So you could do that if you want. For the vast majority of us, Restore is a very interesting phenomenon because at your healthiest state, what you're doing with it is you're actually slowing down the aging process. You're stabilizing that longevity effect at the cell level. And so what does it feel like to age slower? And that's an interesting phenomenon. It actually doesn't feel like anything because you feel a lot like you did yesterday, and that's the goal. In fact, you might feel like you did 5 weeks ago or 5 months ago or eventually 5 years ago. And that's what happened in my body. So I was definitely one of those people. I've never had a bowel issue in my life. I've never had any kind of chronic inflammatory condition that I could identify, et cetera. But I had subconsciously kind of normalized the fact that every morning I woke up and I was a little stiff every morning, kind of going to the bathroom in the morning. And 5-10 minutes in, I wasn't thinking about it anymore and I wasn't stiff anymore. Well, after a few months of Restore, suddenly realized I don't have any stiffness anymore. I jump out of bed in the morning. And the other thing I noticed very quickly is you start urinating less over time. And so you might be able to sleep through the night more effectively. Or, your sleep cycles tend to improve pretty quickly as the neurologic stress comes off. One of the really interesting things about Restore when you're thinking about, what is the effect in my body is serotonin. It turns out that 90% of the serotonin in your body is made by your colon and small intestine. And so when you think about a leaky gut, not only are you leaking and inflammation and everything else, you're not making serotonin. And so you're going to be prone to depression, sleep disorder, poor sex drive, sexual dysfunction, all of that from poor serotonin production. So you're going to see that brain effect, not just because you decrease stress and inflammation at the vagus nerve, but because you're actually making way more serotonin in an intact gut. So that's a little bit of the kind of downstream effects you may be witnessing.
Man, beautiful. You briefly mentioned off topic, but you briefly mentioned people shouldn't be taking testosterone as an isolated hormone to influence one hormone. Any suggestions, like obviously short of seeing an endocrinologist, resources people can start looking at to understand these things? Because it's such a misguided industry.
Such a misguided industry. Yeah, I'd say my field of integrative or medicine, which kind of got dominated by the functional medicine guys, really started pushing the belief that hormones are benign. And if you do bioavailable hormones or it's a good marketing program, but you're right. It really has pushed the belief that these are A, safe, and B, beneficial. And neither of those are really necessarily true. And so this is very much like the other nutrient story. If you're going to take a hormone, do it intermittently because your endocrine system desperately needs balance. And you cannot balance an endocrine system that's getting exogenous delivery of insulin, for example. Testosterone is just another form of insulin. When you take testosterone chronically, you're just stressing the body. It's a pro-growth factor, which is going to drive insulin up. Insulin is a bad news hormone to be driving up. You're going to feel better on testosterone for about a few weeks, and then you're going to plateau. And after a few years on testosterone, you're going to develop fatty liver. You're going to develop gonadal shrinkage. You're going to develop abnormal estrogen-testosterone ratios. You're going to increase cardiovascular risk, all this stuff. And it's because you're overemphasizing one growth factor, one potent steroid hormone, without balancing the other 3,000 hormones behind it. And so if you take it, I would say, okay, let's cut a deal maybe where you take it for 3 weeks and then give yourself 6 weeks off of it. Your body can balance back out and everything else and then try 3 weeks of it again. And I think you're going to find in an intermittent process, number one, it's going to work better because if you stay on testosterone for any period of time, your body's going to start downregulating your testosterone receptors. And so it's simply going to be, passing through the symptom with just side effects rather than actual biologic effect if you've downregulated your receptors. And so that's another great reason to pulse dose anything. And so pulsing a growth factor would be a smart direction to go. I try to get everybody off of them. I find them the highest performing athletes are not on testosterone for sure. You don't find any of the top triathletes in the world taking testosterone right now. So you'll find benefit for sure.
So any strategy you can think of for people who want to come off, like, obviously there's going to be a huge lull. How do we rebalance out this endocrine system? Obviously it probably starts with food in the gut. Is there another step or thought process people may want to start going through?
Yeah, perfect. So huge piece of this is a 5-day water fast. And so if you hit a 5-day water fast right at the beginning of this, you'll reset your body instantly. And so you can go cold turkey on testosterone and estrogen, do a 5-day water fast. It's going to reset all of your growth factors. Your inflammation scores are going to go to zero. Insulin level will be at an all-time low. It's just a powerhouse technique. You're going to drop weight, which is going to kind of freak you out if you're trying to target some high body weight, but you're going to gain it back as soon as you start eating again because what you're losing is water weight, not anything else. You're going to be hydrating throughout the week like crazy. You're going to be drinking a lot of water and do a lot of electrolyte replacement during that week and everything else. So drink a lot of electrolyte water during a 5-day fast. But I won't lose a single pound of muscle mass over a 5-day fast. I'll lose water weight and then I'll bounce right back up as soon as I start eating again. So that's the fastest way to reset your endocrine system for sure, 5-day water fast.
That's great advice. Yeah, I know a lot of people are definitely concerned with losing muscle. So amazing. Doc, we appreciate you. That's pretty incredible to me.
I'm excited for you guys.
Man, yeah, me too. I'll tell you what, if we can shift the paradigm of the fitness industry, I say all the time it's 30 years behind where it should be.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a catalyst for changing people's minds, I'm sure. Where do people find you and where do people find Restore? I know you gave the website, but let's give it one more time.
www.zachbushmd.com is my website. And then the product website is www.restore4life.com.
Do you work with people one-on-one?
Yeah, I've got a busy clinic. I'm pretty full. I think my wait list is about a year out or something like that. But I've got a great nurse practitioner service there as well that practices everything I know. So we can get you in a clinic in Central Virginia if you need it. And we got a really great online program. Our next one is launching, I think, around January 15th. It's an 8-week intensive seminar on nutrition and hydration and exercise physiology.
So more for practitioners or more for people looking to do it for themselves?
For themselves, yeah, not for practitioners.
Awesome. That's so fantastic. Dr. Zach Bush, I appreciate you so much. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
You bet. We appreciate being on. You guys have great health, and let's push this field forward.
Thank you so much. You're awesome. So how's that for a podcast? Dr. Zach Bush, dropping bombs, blowing your mind, blowing my mind. I think he's my new favorite human being on the planet now with that information. If you guys love it, if you love him, you can check out restoreforlife.com. And if you want a discount, you got to check out the show notes at benpokulski.com/podcasts. And also, because you love me and you love the podcast, I want to hear from you. I want to know what you guys want to hear about, who you want to hear from, and what you thought about the podcast. If you loved it, if you hated it, you got to tell me. How am I going to know? So if you want to keep the podcast going, you appreciate the content, guys. I love to hear from you. Check me out on iTunes, leave a review, or you can leave a review at benpokulski.com/podcasts. Peace.
Join us on benpokulski.com to learn the cutting-edge techniques to take control of your body, your brain, and create your greatest life.